Let's have a prayer before we begin.
God and Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for your care for us, which is so evident in so many ways. And we thank you for your word and pray that you help us to have open hearts and open minds and a keen interest as we study and learn about these people of the past who demonstrate things about your character as well as their own. And help us to have tender hearts as well, Father. And we're mindful of those who aren't able to be here. Pray that you bring the Dennises here safely and those who are struggling with various ailments and challenges. We pray your blessings upon them. Help us each day to do the things that draw us closer to you. And help us to draw closer to you tonight as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 9, verse 1. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and spoke to them and to the whole clan of the household of his mother's father, saying, "Speak now in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem. Which is better for you, that 70 men, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or that one man rule over you? Also, remember that I am your bone and your flesh." And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem. And they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our relative." They gave him 70 pieces of silver from the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows, and they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. Oh, you're here. Good. You can take over.
All right. So how far had you, where had you started?
Just in verse 5.
So verse 5, all right.
He's killing his brothers.
He's killing his brothers, okay. All right. So, and I was talking to Philip the other night. I don't know that there's any historical thing for this, but if I took any of Shakespeare's stories and felt that he drew inspiration from any biblical account, I feel that this is Macbeth. Because you got the mass murder, you got the weird prophecy thing, you got him cutting down a forest, and then the death at the end. And I feel like I even put the Shakespeare quote, "Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown." And I think that goes triple if you shouldn't have it to begin with. So, let's rewind back, actually, a piece of a chapter. Let's go to Judges 8:22. Miss Lori, could you read 22 and 23 for me, please?
"Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, 'Rule over us, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian.' Gideon said to them, 'I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you.'"
All right, so rewind back in Gideon's lifetime. Midianites have been beaten. People of Israel come up to him and like, "Hey, we'll make you king." Gideon's like, "No. I'm not going to be king. My son's not going to be king. My grandson's not going to be king. The Lord shall rule for you." Unfortunately, not everything's great with the family of Gideon. And we start to see that right here. And Daryl talked about that, but just to recap, down in 27, if you could get that for me, 27 through the end, 27:28 will suffice. 28 of chapter 8.
Okay, 27:28. Mm-hmm. "And Gideon made it into an ephod and placed it in his city, Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot with it there, so that it became a snare to Gideon and his household. So Midian was subdued before the sons of Israel, and they did not lift up their heads anymore. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years in the days of Gideon."
All right, so coming back from the slaughter of Midian, Gideon asked everybody to give him the gold earrings. Well, what does he go do with it?
Gold ephod.
Makes gold ephod. and it's a snare. So automatically we're having trouble. And then family life. Did you read about his family before you started into the chapter 9?
I just mentioned that he was the son of Gideon.
All right, so let's do a little bit on that. Could you read for me 29 through 25 of chapter 8? Yes.
Then Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and lived in his own house. Now Gideon had 70 sons who were his direct descendants, for he had many wives. His concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, and he named him Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a ripe old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezrites, however you say that. Then it came about, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-Berith their god. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side, nor did they show kindness to the household of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in accord with all the good that he had done to Israel.
All right. So he judges Israel 40 years, has 70 sons. Doesn't say if he has any daughters or not. Bunch of wives and a concubine from Shechem. But the second he's dead, they're back to the Baal worship again. So, we got discontent in Israel, and I would say, as opposed to previous times, we've seen the judge dies, they go worship idols, and then outside force oppresses them. But this is going to change from that. This is going to be an internal force. I would suggest that their own discontent with themselves and what they're doing leads to this scenario where this is even possible. Rick just read the part where he killed his family off. So Shechem. Okay, Shechem's about 30 miles north of Jerusalem. Destroyed and rebuilt many times. It's where the Dinah incident happened in Genesis. It's also where the woman with the well in the New Testament happens, actually. Because it's right outside the mountain where the Samaritans worship God at. So this is the location of the well with the Samaritan woman. Modern-day city of Tel Balada, if that's how you pronounce that. Not really sure about that one. But they've built a city over most of the ruins, so there's not really much of it left. All right, so which verse had you got down to a 9? Verse 5, all right. All right, so he got hired worthless and reckless men. All right, can I get you go ahead and read verse 6?
All the men of Shechem and all Beth Milo assembled together, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar of Shechem.
All right, so they're doing the exact opposite of what Gideon told them to do. Not me, not my son, not my grandson. Well, the men of Shechem have killed the entire family of Gideon with the exception of 2 people and has made one of them king after giving him money from the temple of their god and him hiring a bunch of worthless men. All right, so Parable of the Trees. Here's the Mount Gerizim just outside that town. Jotham's got some good lungs if he's able to stand on top of the mountain and people can hear him down in this valley. So, Jesse, could I get you to read 7 through 15?
Now, when they told Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim. and lifted his voice and cried out, and he said unto them, Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, Reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, Should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men, and go to sway over trees? Then the tree said to the fig tree, You come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit? Go and sway over other trees. Then the tree said to the vine, You come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and man, to sway over trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, You come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon.
Okay. So, this is, as far as I could tell, this is the first parable in the whole Bible, unless I've missed one. So, he breaks it down into three parts. The first one, the trees go forth to anoint a king, and they ask three separate trees or plants or bushes to do so. First is the olive tree. But the olive tree is like, why should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and man and go sway over the trees? Then the fig tree. And then the vine. And then, what are they left to resort to? Bramble. The lowest of the low plant in the plant kingdom. Who, of course, takes him up on the offer immediately. Does anyone think there's anything with the tree selection that he picked, or do you think he picked random other than the bramble? I couldn't really find anything good on that one. I wondered if anyone had some thoughts on that.
The bramble being the most despicable of the bunch would be representative of the Bimelech.
Well, the trees are useful for something. They bear fruit. You got a fig tree, olive tree, mm-hmm. You got grapes, and then you got this worthless bush thing. You know?
I guess you have a vegetable tree, a fruit tree, a vine.
He's speaking to their status. That he is lowly, he's the child of a concubine, and everybody else has the statute, you know, they're going to get an inheritance,
could be that, could be more along the lines of what Rick was saying is, the guy absolutely has no morals, it's the lowest of the low. Because we see in a few chapters down another person that has not the greatest family relationship because of his mother, too. But he winds up going and saving Israel against the Amalekites. So, in the back, those of you who don't mind reading, could you raise your hands for me? All right, we'll start here. Could I get you to read 16... through 21.
You have risen up against my father's house this day, and have killed his son, 70 men of one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem, because he is your relative. If you then have acted in good faith and integrity, verse 16, you say?
Yeah, 16.
Sorry, my mistake. Now, therefore, if you have acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and you have dwelt well with Jeroboam's house, and have done to him as his deeds deserve. For my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you from the hand of Midian. You have risen up against my father's house this day, and have killed his son, sending him to one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the leaders of Shechem, because he is your relative. If then you have acted in good faith and integrity Jeroboam and his house is dead, and rejoice in Abimelech, and let him rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Bethmilo, and let fire come out of the leaders of Shechem and Bethmilo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech, his brother.
All right, so I kind of think this is the part of the speech that he's yelling down. If anybody didn't get the part that he's being plain and open for the rest of the crowd. So, if you've done right by killing the family of the people that saved you, all right. But if not, all of you destroy each other because you will have no pleasure in each other. He then takes off and flees the location. I couldn't get a good... No one seems to agree on to where that is, but I think, given the locations, it makes most sense for it to be in the desert on the border of Moab that they had stopped and made a well in back in Numbers 21 of the locations that they gave as possible, because... Especially since the next verse says Abimelech reigned over Israel, I can't see that he would stick anywhere in Israel and feel safe. All right. Anyone catch anything in there that I didn't go over? All right. So, I'll read verse 22. And Abimelech reigned over Israel 3 years. God then sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. So, Abimelech's not going to enjoy his reign very long because you're already starting to have revolts, dissension in the ranks. So, this is one of the first times we see in the Old Testament. Where else do we see God sending a spirit to do something? Saul? All right. What's another? It's a little later in the Old Testament. It's Ahab. Receiving spirit in the mouths of his prophets that said, "Go on up, Lord's with you." All right, and what did this particular spirit do? Caused an insurrection with the very men that made this guy king. And God sure didn't pick him. If they had asked for somebody to be king, if they had asked the high priest or the prophet of this time who to have been it, Abimelech had been the last person on the list. In fact, he just wouldn't have been on the list, but... So, insurrection. And we see even in the Samuel that once God has made David, chooses David and anoints David as king over Israel, for the rest of Saul's life, Saul's not having a very good time as king. He's constantly worried David's going to undermine him. He's looking for plots and things against him that don't exist. The man's living in paranoia for the remainder of his reign. Here, it's straight up. There's no question. These guys are just flat out rebelling against Abimelech. All right.
Into the picture in verse 24, let me pick up with verse 23.
Yeah. Why don't you read 23 through 25 for me while you're there?
God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem, and the leaders of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. That the violence done to the 70 sons of Zerubbabel
might come and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. And the leaders of Shechem put men in ambush against him on the mountaintops, and they robbed all who passed by them along the way, and it was told to Abimelech.
All right.
So these men who rise up against him, I think the scripture is telling us there's something to be laid at their feet and also at his feet, Abimelech's.
In Proverbs 17:13, it says, if anyone or evil will never depart from the house of those who return evil for good.
Mm-hmm. These are the exact same guys that helped him out just 3 short years ago. And they're the ones starting this insurrection. Notice here, it doesn't come out and say it per se, but he's not living in Shechem. Wherever his capital is, it's not Shechem, because he's having to get messages in and out of here from spies. All right. Ray, could I get you to read 26 down to 29?
Now, Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his relatives and crossed over into Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their trust in him. And they went out into the field and gathered the grapes of their vineyards and trod them and held a festival. And they went into the house of their god and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? And is Zubal not his lieutenant? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? Would therefore that this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out.
All right. So what does that tell us about these guys? Other than they're cocky. They'll advise loud mouths. They've apparently got an army. If they're saying assemble an army and come out for a fight, they apparently got enough men that they think they can beat them. Where are they at? Where, when they're saying all this? Worship an idol. Going back to the last chapter here, and I may be wrong on this, but it seems that Shechem seems to be the center of the idol worship in Israel at this moment in time.
They've been drinking, so that tends to make you shoot off at the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Party was kind of...
Yeah, this definitely wasn't a man of the year award party.
I mean, you're kind of seeing time and time again throughout history, countries that totally turn their back on God, become tyrannical, do evil deeds, typically start to have factions that are unsatisfied within themselves. And usually the empires or kingdoms will collapse on their own weight, basically. And that's kind of what's happening here. Everybody's unhappy. They all hate each other. They can't even stand the people they've put in charge themselves.
I can think of two other examples in the Bible where something similar to this kind of happens. One of them's a little more obscure, I'll grant you. Can anyone think of specifically drinking party at night? Babylon. It was there last night. You got that one. And then you had that one guy that I can't think of his name that was only king of Israel for like 6 days and then burned that palace down on top of him. Right before Ahab's time, yeah. It was Ahab's dad's rival, whatever his name was. All right, so he goes in. Who's Abimelech? Who's Shechem? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? If this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech. Okay? He's calling him out. Governor of the city, though, is still in Abimelech's pocketbook, though. Neil, could I get you to read verse 30 through 33?
And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Kael, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech, craftily saying, "Behold, Kael, the son of Ebed, and his brethren are come to Shechem, and behold, they constrain the city to take part against thee. Now therefore, up by night, thou and the people that are with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and rush upon the city. And behold, when he and the people that are with him come out against thee, then thou mayest do to them as thou shalt find occasion."
All right. So not everyone in Shechem's against Abimelech. So this is the ruler of the city. So he sends messengers out. They get by the passages where they've got guards. He gives them a plan. And the plan is the old sneak up in the middle of the night trick. So Abimelech and the people who were with him rose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. Ken, could I get you to read 35 Let's go to 40.
Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city, and Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from the ambush. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the mountaintops." And Zebul said to him, You mistake the shadows of the mountain for men." Gaal spoke again and said, "Look, people are coming down from the center of the land, and one company is coming from the direction of the diviner's oak." Then Zebul said to him, "Where is your mouth now, you who said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?' And are not these the people whom you despise? Go out now and fight with them." And Gaal went out at the head of the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate.
All right. So Abimelech doesn't take it lying down. He comes up at night. Somehow or another, though, in the night, these people are being spotted and kind of have a back and forth between the head guy against Abimelech and the ruler of the city who's in Abimelech's pocket. Guy's like, "Look, there's people coming down." The other guy's like, "Ah, it's just shadows. Nothing to see here." And then they're like, "Nope, there's an army." And then the ruler of the city goes the exact opposite route. It's like, "All right, loudmouth. You called them out. There they are. Go and fight them. How's that go for them?" Not well. If there was ever a classic case of everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, this probably be it. So, I'll read this next bit. "Then Abimelech dwelt at Arama, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brother so they would not dwell in Shechem." So Zebul gets rid of the conspirators out of the city of Shechem. But I think this is where God talking to the other brother comes in here, because Abimelech makes a really, really weird decision here. Miss Lori, could you read verse 42 through 45?
"On the following day, the people went out into the field, and Abimelech was told, He took his people and divided them into three companies and set an ambush in the fields. And he looked and saw the people coming out of the city. So he rose against them and killed them. Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city, while the two companies rushed upon all who were in the field and killed them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He captured the city and killed the people who were in it, and he razed the city and sowed it with salt.
All right. Ruler sent out all the troublemakers, yet Abimelech still razing the city to the ground. Going back to that lesson we were talking about, dealing with evil people. Men of Shechem helped Abimelech. City got razed.
This city was salt. He's not wanting that city to rise.
Mm-mm. Not for a very long time, anyway. I mean, we got some ruins from the town, but I imagine most things there are going to be irrigated in. So, all right. Neil, could you read 46 down to through 49, please?
When all the men of the tower of Shechem heard thereof, they entered into the stronghold of the house of El-Berith. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech got him up to Mount Zalman, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it up and laid it on his shoulder. And he said unto the people that were with him, "What ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done." And all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the stronghold and set the stronghold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women.
This part I found a bit confusing. Apparently they had a stronghold outside the city, separate from the city itself. So it must have been like a fortified point. Maybe they made it back when the Midianites were conquering the land. I'm not really sure. But either way, they burned it to the ground. But Abimelech's now got this like bloodlust happening. So we see in the next verse, he moves on to a city 10 miles north of there. Oh, this mountain that they're mentioning, Mount Zalman, is just outside the city of Shechem. It's in that range right there. So it's all, we're not moving very far in any of these parts. All right. Jesse, could I get you to read 50 through 56?
Then Abimelech went to Thebez, and he encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women and all the people of the city fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor-bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, 'A woman has killed me.'" So his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man to his place. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father, by killing his 70 rulers.
Next verse as well.
And all the evil of the men of Shechem God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel.
All right. Went up against the Bez, did the same thing, got into the city, broke into the city, was fighting against a tower, and what happens? Probably rolled it. But what do we remember Abimelech as? The guy that got killed by a woman. And even in having his armor bearer do the last thing didn't help that reputation. Because even further into the Bible, when they mention Abimelech, it's like, don't you know that he got killed by a woman when they dropped something on his head? That's in 2 Samuel 11.
You know, it's, he refers to the curse of Jotham.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to verse 20, and that's almost precisely what he said. Let fire come out from Abimelech and consume the men of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and consume Abimelech. That wasn't fire, but millstone. And I think that's possessed as the curse of Jotham.
Fire. The fire works. Especially since he burned a city, just burned a tower just now. It's both figurative and literal. And then, but here's the thing that gets me, is it mentions, and then everyone saw it, and all the people of Israel were just like, okay, let's just go home. You apparently had the tribes of Israel there fighting for Abimelech. Nobody is saying anything, at least that we are told, that maybe we shouldn't do this. That says something, again, about these times in Israel and the days of judges, in between your judges, is that everyone was just kind of going along with this.
But God was getting his point across.
He was, indeed. And nobody would even attempt to try to take over, crown themselves king again until God anointed somebody. And only one other person that I can think of crowned themselves king that shouldn't have been. And they themselves wound up getting taken out. I'm thinking of Adaliah, the mother of the king of that got killed by Jehu.
I was just saying, to your point, it's not uncommon for people to follow a charismatic figure to do very evil and wicked things because they're charismatic. The Bible and history shows us that. Yeah. And those people usually, like them, like was coming to them, what goes around comes around kind of thing. And God's judgment.
Looks like we got about one more minute. Does anybody got anything else other than that he's remembered through the entire history of being the man killed by a woman? Right.
He's also ruled by fear because he killed his own brother. So
ruled by fear. And he,
fear was gone when he was gone.
I had the Shakespeare quote up on the first slide. Uneasy is the head that wears the crown. It's like he didn't even have leave the favorite. Wasn't even any of that. Let's go on. Jotham got away, so that don't count. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. All right, if there's nothing else. And it shows in this story, even in the chapter starting back, that everything bad seems to be starting from that temple of Baal and Shechem. All right, thank you guys.